Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, everybody, get your head right. It is a Tuesday morning. It is Ben and Woods, and you are listening to 97.3 The Fan. It's our new home here. Still new. I think for about a year, it'll be new.
We got a year?
Yeah, about a year. You got to do about a year's time, and then it will be just home for
We've
Ben and Woods.
We've only done 4.5 months. It sounds insane.
Does it? I feel like it's been longer. Yeah, I feel like it's been much, much longer. Settled in pretty nicely here at the Fan, surprisingly. What's so funny about that? Both of you laughed.
This place is home to me, by the way.
Exactly. You've been here a long time.
Yeah, over a year.
The voice you hear to my right is our assistant producer, The Hammer. Good morning, Hammer.
What's up, man?
And to Hammer's right, our executive producer, Paul Reinl. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning, Woodsy.
We are waiting for Ben Higgins' imminent arrival. He'll be in 5:30-ish, and we will get things started. It should be a pretty interesting day. Some interesting stories broke last night in the baseball world. We'll get you caught up on that. Monday Night Football was awful. I mean, it was one of the more boring games you could ever watch. I mean, unless you love sheer dominance.
I don't hate it because I was able to watch the first quarter and say, all right, yeah, I can carry on with my night.
That's the good part of it. I could see the panic set in my wife's eyes as she remembers, oh, crap, there's a Monday Night Football game. He's going to need to watch this. Then it's 24-0, and I'm like, hey, let's watch that Netflix show, because at that point, I don't need to see Sam Darnold, you know, throwing interceptions anymore. We'll get into all that. The Patriots have already made a pretty big trade this morning. Came down about 10 minutes ago, so we'll get into all of that. But I wanted to talk about the tweet that I sent last night from our beloved Hammer. This killed me. So yesterday, just kind of in passing, this was off the air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was off the air. We never even talked about it. Hammer told us that until he was like 23 years old, he would go to a bar and order a Roman Coke because he thought that that's what they were called, a Roman Coke.
Yeah, absolutely. And mind you, so this, I first started doing this. I went to a house party in high school. I went with my older brother. I was probably 15 years old. I didn't know what to get as a drink.
When you're young and you have the chance to get a drink. I got a great story, but go ahead.
So anyways, I'm sitting there, I'm waiting to get a drink, and I hear somebody order a Roman Coke.
Yeah,
that's
like,
what
like
I heard.
Muffled, like, let me get a Roman Coke.
So for the next 8 years, I went on to say Roman, and mind you, every time I ordered this at a bar, never once did a bartender look at me and go, oh, you mean a rum, what's you a Roman a- Coke? You mean a Roman Coke? No. Because they hear me talk, and I always talk like a little funny.
Yeah,
so they're
you
just
do,
like,
it's fine.
Oh, man, this guy's just talking about a rum and coke, because it sounds basically like
now,
rum and coke.
When you said it, I thought to myself, that's a really good idea for the like a drink name, a Roman Coke.
Because Roman sounds awesome.
It sounds cool. Like, yeah, oh, Roman. Like, that's a good, strong.
What would a Roman Coke be?
I don't know. I don't
block
know.
You out.
Yeah, it'll
every
be a
Roman
blackout.
Coke I've had, I blacked out after
Roman Coke, and it stuck in my head all day. And I tweeted it last night. I said, "In much lighter news,
no, it's an actual drink."
Shut up.
I mean,
it's on the internet, so somebody I could have just made
right,
it up.
Right, right, right.
But a Roman Coke is a rum and Coke with the Roman twist of Sambuca.
No wonder I was blacking out. Dude, that's awesome.
So maybe you were actually getting Roman Cokes instead of rum and Cokes.
Maybe.
And you were just getting tanked.
I don't know, because I'm going to some trashy bars in Warrensburg, Missouri, and ordering a Roman. There's no way they got Sambuca.
No, there's no Buca there. Buca is...
What is that?
It's like licorice. It's like licorice liqueur, and it's usually for after dinner. Like, settles the stomach. I believe they call it a digestif, by the way. Ben would know more about this than me. He's the kind of foodie of the group. But it reminds me of a story. My uncle and my dad.
It's an Italian liqueur.
Yeah, it's a liqueur. My uncle and my dad went to a really fancy restaurant in Dallas. And I believe they went with a client of my dad's when they were young, when my dad was young. I think my uncle Jack had just turned 21. This place is called The Mansion. It's very fancy. The Mansion on Turtle Creek. Like, we would eat there once every 5 years. It's a very special occasion. Extremely fancy. So my uncle had just turned, maybe he was even like 19 or something. He's with my dad. They go to the mansion, you know, suit and tie. And they went to the client. And what would you have, sir? I'll have a glass of wine. My dad, what will you have, sir? I'll have a scotch on the rocks. They get to my uncle. He got panicked, like you did when you were 15. So he orders a martini. He had no. All he'd ever done is
what a mistake.
All he'd ever done. Is seen it in the movies, right? Like you. He's like, I'll have a martini.
What's he watching? Sex in the City?
Like probably James Bond or something, right? So we're talking back in like the 70s, and
I can relate to that.
The 80s, right? So he full on panicked and ordered a martini, having no idea that it's just straight alcohol in that glass with maybe an olive in it. And my dad said his face, when he took that first sip of that martini, looked like he was chewing on a turd. You know what I mean? God. Like, it was just... And he said the panic in his eyes when it got around to him to order a drink. And he's looking at the menu. I'll just have a martini. And the worst drink you could order in history.
I remember I did something similar, and I was like, I don't know, 21 or 22 at a restaurant, and I just didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't know what the fancy drinks were yet, the cocktails.
Yep.
Just kind of, you know, I knew my beers, I knew which type of beer I liked, and like Jim Beam or Jack Daniels or whatever. Not Jim Beam. But I ordered a Manhattan because I wanted...
I'm so sorry.
Because I knew I liked whiskey.
That's Ben's favorite drink, by the way, the Manhattan.
It's essentially a martini. It's just whiskey instead of gin.
Yeah, I mean, and it's vermouth and,
And I remember I got it in the fancy like martini glass. I'm like, what is this crap?
Yeah, what am I drinking?
Like in my head, I was getting an old fashioned.
Yes.
But a Manhattan and an old fashioned are not the same.
Well, it's funny, too, because when you first start... You know, your drinking career. Most of us underage. I remember we went to Cancun.
Natty Light.
Well,
I love Natural Light.
I'm talking about mixed drinks. I'm talking about mixed drinks. When we first went on our senior trip in high school, so we're talking 1993, we all go to Cancun, Mexico at 18 years old. And you get over there and you're like, oh God, I can't drink tequila straight. Because you're 18. Like, you just... You want something that goes down smooth. I remember the drink that we drank at 18 years old, cherry vodka sours.
Been there.
So vodka, sour mix, and a splash of grenadine. The amount of sugar in those, I mean, it's got to be 700 grams of sugar in each one. And we would order, you know, 6-7 at a time. Then later on, I discovered rum and Cokes or Roman Cokes. And I was a big...
Two different things.
I was a big Roman Coke guy as well, Hammer. So that was my drink of choice. But, man, that just... It just killed... The thought of you walking up to someone ordering Roman Cokes for the last, you know, or for 6 years in a row brought a smile to my
Sometimes
face.
I still slip up and I'll do it. Because I can't help myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. What else is going on, fellas? Anything exciting to report? Or are we just killing time waiting for the big guy to get here? Oh, I'll tell everybody this. Our TVs are out in here because it looks like we didn't pay our DirecTV bill.
Yeah.
Is that embarrassing? Is that something
that actually says to pay your bill? It says DirecTV.com.
Yeah. Do you think, Adam, our boss is going to be mad at me?
Probably.
for saying that on the air. Yeah. I mean, we're not in like financial trouble or anything here. I mean,
hopefully not.
We've lived that before, Paul and I and Ben.
This is the first step.
Yeah, this is the first step right here. This is what happens.
It's been real, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, Hammer's like, yeah, this actually happened.
We'll see you on Twitch.
Oh, man.
Oh, stop it.
Man. So the bill. So, like, whereas usually I'm sitting here looking at highlights and they'd be breaking down this big trade in the NFL.
Yeah, we usually got NFL Network or MLB Network on one. And then we'll have, usually, like a local news
Yeah,
on
local
the other.
News on the other.
We have nothing.
We got nothing.
I don't know what's happening out in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the world could be ending. We'd have no idea. I mean, we still have the internet.
We have a giant window.
But once your DirecTV is down, doesn't that mean your internet's probably going to go too at some point?
I don't think
they're not connected. Okay, yeah. I bundle them in my home.
Sick brag.
Sick brag. Bundle. I'm a big fan of the bundling. But so I don't know what's going to happen in here this morning. I do know that that right now, apparently, we here are deadbeats and have not paid our cable bill.
Story of my life.
That's fair. That's very fair. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. But I would love to have our TVs back. I like everything to be the same every day.
Well, I like seeing having a TV in the room, so I don't have to awkwardly stare at you during a conversation. Because I've always been taught, like, yo, you got to make eye contact when you talk.
It's very weird.
I like having
now
that.
I'm doing it.
We're just staring at each other. It's nice to be able to, like, look up, like, oh, I'm just casually looking at Mohamed Sanu highlight.
Yeah, I can look over your head right under the TV, but now I can't because it's just a black screen. Did you guys catch the Star Wars trailer last night? That's another big story on social media today. So it was during Monday Night Football, and I saw a lot of people like, all right, this game sucks. Just get me to the Star Wars trailer. You guys know my stand on Star Wars. I loved Star Wars when I was a little kid.
I don't know your stance.
I loved it.
Probably offend Hammer.
I mean, dude, the original Star Wars... Return of the Jedi. Wait, sorry. The original Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, The Return of the Jedi, those three, I loved them.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
I grew up, and I stopped caring.
People do that with Pokemon, too. I don't get how people do that if you love something and you just let it go.
Well, you grow up.
That's not true.
Well,
it is, though.
I mean, it is.
No, look at people that have liked Star Wars from the beginning and just never let it go.
That's true. There's a lot of those.
Those are the loyal people. Those are the people you can trust.
I'm probably the exception, to be honest with you. But I loved them. I didn't like them. I loved them. I had the Millennium Falcon. I had the fighters. I had all the stuff. I had everything. I was all about it. And then I discovered breasts and whatnot and decided
to... There were breasts in Star Wars.
I decided to go a different...
Princess Leia.
I decided to go a different route, Hammer, after that. So I remember going in college to one of the, when it came back out, something like episode 4, which was really episode 1, which always confused me. And it was terrible. They had Jar Jar Binks in it.
Is that with the double-sided lightsaber?
I think so. Jar Jar was in it. It was horrid. And I was like, all right.
That was the Phantom Menace.
That's the one that turned me off of the rest of them. But I will tell you this. You'll be surprised by my reaction. I watched that preview last night. Looked pretty good. Looked pretty freaking good. I really thought to myself... Well, crap. I don't have to go watch the rest of these.
I'm telling you, when Disney took over Star Wars, there was nothing to worry about.
Dude, it looked good. This movie that they showed last night, I started to kind of make fun of it, and I started watching it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that actually looks pretty damn good. I might have to go see that, which means I'm going to have to catch up on the 15 that I missed. This is the last one, though, right? This is it.
I'm not sure if this is the last one.
I've heard this is
it's
the last
it.
One.
Until the next
one. All right. Well, listen,
they just built Star Wars Land at Disneyland.
It's true.
You got to kind of build off that.
It's true. It is true. Well, we'll figure it out. I'm sure somebody will let me know on Twitter that I'm wrong, and that's okay. We had a phenomenal, phenomenal interview yesterday, a conversation more than an interview, with Sean Pendergast. He does morning radio in Houston at 6:10 a.m., the World Series, of course, starting tonight. Astros in the news today as well. We're going to dive headlong into that story.
Ooh.
You can trust me on that. This organization, I'll tell you what. Something about these guys. Man, I've seen cocky. I've seen arrogant. I've seen sanctimonious. Never like the Houston Astros. Never. Never. And I'm a Yankee fan, my friend. I have never seen an organization like the Houston Astros in my life, and I can't wait. I would do 3 hours on this today if Ben would let me, but he won't. But we talked to Sean yesterday. This is great. Get a little World Series preview for you next on our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Thanks for tuning in. Love you guys, and stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, good morning. It is Ben and Woods. You guys are liking the alcohol stories. Tweet us always at Ben and Woods. Jay Peterman 619 says, that's a great story to wake up to. I did the same thing with a Manhattan. Yeah, just tears you up. I remember I remember in high school, too, before we get to this spotlight, I remember in high school, my dad had this really expensive bottle of scotch, I think. It was called Pinch. It was Pinch Scotch Whiskey. I'm going to look it up right now because that's what I remember. But it's a really cool bottle, pretty expensive bottle of Pinch. And, you know, I did what you do in high school, and you steal your parents' liquor. And I can remember years later, my dad was like, I had this really, really nice bottle of scotch that someone gave to me as a gift. Any idea where that went? I'm like, yeah, I stole it and drank it by a creek, you know, mixing it with ginger ale probably, when it's meant to be, you know, drunk neat, been aged forever. So, yeah, that's just what you do when you're a kid. You mix it with Kool-Aid and ginger ale or anything else you can get your hands on, and it doesn't matter if it's a $200 bottle of scotch or not. We are going to get to our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight right now. We had Sean Pendergast on with us yesterday from 6:10 a.m. in Houston. Really, really good guy. Had a fun conversation with him, and we'll play that for you now. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight.
Joining us here on 97.3 The Fan, host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Sean Pendergast. With us here, Sean, it's great to have you on in San Diego. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be on with you guys. We got a little San Diego weather here today, finally, so it feels good. I'm standing outside a Chick-fil-A eating an egg white grill, because if you have grilled chicken and an egg on an English muffin, it's much more nutritious than the fried chicken on a bagel with cheese.
Yes, it is.
I guess so. I guess you can make that argument. So you didn't get the same Dallas weather. The tornadoes and stuff missed you guys.
It did. We got a little rain this morning, but now it's really nice outside, and it's been a brutal, brutal summer here. So we're excited, and we've got baseball in October, so it's all good, man.
So obviously the Astros thrilled to get back, but is this the opponent that they were hoping for? I know it seems like a lot of teams were kind of, let's just avoid the Nationals if we can. That pitching staff and those top-of-the-rotation guys, not fun in any series, whether it's five games or seven.
Yeah, this is not the matchup that I wanted, and for those exact reasons. You know, the Nationals got off to a rough start this year, but since that 19-31 start, they basically played baseball at about the same clip that the Astros have, and April and May don't matter right now. This is a really good baseball team, and it's kind of the opposite challenge that the Astros were facing in the previous series with the Yankees, whereas, you know, with the Yankees, you're just struggling to get through 1-9 in their lineup each time around, and they've got a really deep bullpen, but the starting pitching is a little suspect. This is almost the exact opposite, where the Nationals, it's going to be an amazing series. I heard you guys talking about it before you brought me on. Just that this is, it's like a WrestleMania pitching card. You know what I mean? Like, it's the matchups are incredible with Cole and Scherzer, and then Verlander and Strasburg, and even the third guys in with, I mean, when you're talking about the undercard being Greinke and Corbin, and of course, Anibal Sanchez could be a big X factor in the series, because the Astros starting rotation really sort of stops after those three guys. It's a really intriguing series. And for someone who does morning radio, I will welcome the games only lasting like 3 hours and 15 minutes. That'll be really cool.
No, I can relate, Sean. We're talking to Sean Pendergast, sports radio host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And, you know, look, I'm a Yankee fan. That series to me was unbelievable. The agony and the ecstasy of baseball was on full display between those two teams. But as a baseball fan first, I'm actually happy that I get to relax and enjoy the series without feeling like I wanted to vomit or punch a hole in the wall or anything like that. But, you know, if you had told me, hey, the Yankees and Astros are going to go to six, Alex Bregman's going to have one RBI, it's going to come in the last game, I say Yankees are going to win that, period. They win, because Alex Bregman is the straw that stirs that drink. But everybody else seemed to kind of step up and get the job done. Yordan Alvarez looked like he'd never played baseball before, ever. I mean, he really did. Like, hey, where did they find this guy? And this kid's a stud. And you know, if you had told me that going in, I'd say there's no way the Astros can win. But they always manage to find a way to get that big hit.
Yeah, it's a fun game to play, right? Where you go, okay, if I gave you this, and this before the series, would you sign up for this right now and just leave everything else to chance? And
yep,
you're absolutely right. You know, Bregman, who may win the MVP for the American League, he, you know, it's interesting because he only had one RBI. He got on base a little bit, though. Like, just his presence in the middle of the lineup does matter because he walks quite a bit. You know, he had some hard-hit balls. I felt like towards the end of that series, he was making good contact. He was just hitting it right at guys. You know, Bregman is still in the circle of trust. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt.
But it's, yeah, but you're right. Like, you know, the lineup itself, that was the thing that was scary as an Astros fan, is that the lineup had so many dead spots in it during that series that we just weren't used to seeing during the season. And obviously you're stepping up massively in weight class, playing a 7-game series with the Yankees, then playing a 4-game series with, you know, the Angels in July, that kind of thing. But yeah, Yordan not hitting in that series was a big problem. Really 7 through 9 in the order was a problem for the Astros. And that's the scary thing to me, guys, about this series is that, yeah, the Astros managed to somehow win that series in 6 games. But this is not a team that's hitting well and really not hitting well situationally right now. 3 big 3-run homers is what really helped them get over the hump. You know, with Yuli in game 6 and the 2 3-run homers in game 4. And then obviously Altuve with the 2-run homer to cinch it. They were really kind of an all or nothing sort of an all or nothing operation there, especially for the last 3-4 games.
Sean, let me ask you about Astros fans, because I look here in California, Giants fans used to be pretty humble up there in San Francisco. Then they got their 3 world titles. Now they're just insufferable. I mean, we know about Patriots and Red Sox fans, how they've turned from, you know, no nothing franchises into the most arrogant fan bases in America. The Astros just a few years ago were the worst team in baseball. I mean, 100-plus losses every year. Now trying to win a second World Series in 3 years. How are the fans adjusting? Because, honestly, we would love to see something like that happen in San Diego here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's a weird dynamic from this standpoint. When you inject football into the operation here for a second, and the Texans, and Houston is a football town, Texas is a football state, and I would say of all the you know, sort of the prevailing emotional trends with Astro fans, the diehard Astro fans, the ones that were there when they were losing 111 games, in 2013, when their payroll was literally less than what Alex Rodriguez was making that year. The diehard fans, I don't know that there's necessarily an arrogance that permeates to fans outside of Houston. I think that, of anything, there's sort of this maybe like civil strife among Houston fans, where you have Astro fans that are now, you know, like it probably happens in any city, climbing back on the bandwagon, showing up for the playoff games, wearing all their orange gear, you know, touting the Astros. And there's that small, very vocal portion of baseball fans here in Houston who were the ones that were going to the ballpark in 2011 through 2013, kind of saying like, hey, man, we were here all along, that sort of thing. It's not something where, you know, there's fights outside the stadium between these factions or anything. But if there's any sort of intriguing emotional angle with Astro fans, it's sort of the hey, we've been here all along, with the ones that are kind of climbing on the bandwagon. The Astros will truly arrive as a national entity when there are Astro fans that have never had anything to do with the city of Houston that are showing up in bars and taverns across the United States. I don't know that we're there quite yet.
So you're telling me that's what we have to look forward to here
Padres
in San Diego.
Twitter civil war.
It's going coming. To be. Yeah, it's coming. It's going to be. Well, you long for it, right?
It's like
going to
happen.
You hope. You hope that
the
it
bandwagoners
happens.
Versus the old school that is real fans right now.
It is. It is. It is amazing. And I don't know how long you've been covering the team, Sean, but you know, just watching. I mean, I'm watching the series over the weekend. Who's the big righty? Josh James.
Josh James.
Yeah, they're like, well, so he was a nobody and threw 87, and then he realized he had sleep apnea, and he woke up and he threw 98. And I'm like, what?
Dude.
It's nuts.
Dude, look, as someone who suffered from sleep apnea until I found a doctor that wanted to sponsor my morning radio show.
It's a good idea.
I can vouch for getting rid of sleep apnea. I don't know what my equivalent is of fastball, you know, 10 miles an hour on my fastball.
Right.
But whatever it is, I experienced it. So now it's the other stuff, the spin rate and all the funky stuff.
It's maddening.
You run these, it's almost like a car wash, right? Like you bring these pitchers in and there are these downtrodden, mediocre, middle of the road pitchers, and you run them through the Jeff Luno analytics car wash, and they come out the other side Ryan Presley.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like it's
Charlie Morton, Ryan Presley. All like the list goes on and on. Will Harris. I mean, Will Harris.
Yeah,
looks like a grown up baby. He looks like a grown-up baby. And the guy, he does. He had to grow facial hair, so we didn't think he was 13 years old.
He looks
amazing.
He looks like a. God, I just thought of this now that you said that. Like, his mustache and beard are terrible.
Terrible.
Right? Like, it's the worst facial hair ever. He looks like a vaudeville villain if you colorize the movie.
Yes. 100%. There was a baby mask I saw on a Halloween store. I'm like, you put an Astros hat on this, it looks like Will Harris.
Yes.
But they know that what they've been able to do. I mean, look, I think even here in San Diego, it's weird though, because the Padres have never gone full tank, right? They signed Eric Hosmer and they signed Manny Machado, and it's, you know, the Astros really, really, really committed to the tank for those years, and
they did.
It's worked out. I mean, we're like some hybrid. We have some good players, but we still lose, you know, a ton of games here. The Astros are kind of that model. And when Padre fans say, hey, we want to be the Astros, well, I don't know that we did it the right way. I don't know that anybody could have fully committed to it like they did in Houston.
Well, here's the thing, too, though. You got to get it right. Like, you know, there's like eight teams that are trying to do this right now, and baseball is a zero-sum game. You know what I mean? It's not like the corner I'm standing on right now in front of this Chick-fil-A, where there's a fast food restaurant on each of the other four corners, and you could plunk four more down another block from here, and everybody's going to make their numbers. Baseball's a zero-sum game. Like, you can't have eight teams tanking, and all of a sudden eight of them are whooping ass and making deep runs into the playoffs.
Right.
So the Astros tear it down to the studs, but they got the picks right. And even when they got stuff wrong, they got it right. And Brady Aiken was the first overall pick. I think he's from out that way, actually, in Southern California. Yeah, and Brady Aiken was the number one overall pick. Well, the Astros started getting jerky with him over an elbow ligament, and they just decided to lowball him and not sign him. So in baseball, you get your pick back the next year, and they used it to get Alex Bregman.
It's
you
insane.
Know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. So even and I will say this, too, that it's one thing. You tear it down, and you're drafting really high. Jeff Luhnow is a master at making deals, and he has used those prospects. The three guys that we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation, guys, Cole, Verlander, and Greinke, they all were trades for prospects, and two of them were at the 11th hour and 59th minute when Verlander and Greinke came here. So it's not just a matter of, well, we got these high picks and we're going to draft a bunch of young players and they're all going to turn into something. That's part of it, but Luhnow is an ultimate deal maker. Their top three guys, all guys that he was able to get for prospects from teams that were, you know, basically downtrodden and salary dumping.
Well, and the other thing that the Padres haven't been able to do like the Astros have been, and you alluded to it, is knowing when to say when. I mean, we've got guys on this roster that were supposed to be the next big thing 4 years ago, and we're still running them out there right now, and it's just not happening. The Astros would have cut bait with these guys 2 years ago, and that's got to be hard. And I know that guy probably takes a lot of grief for the Brady Aiken miss, for letting Charlie Morton walk. They don't care. They find a way to get better. And that's, you know, as a Yankee fan that, you know, quote unquote, grew up watching my team, you know, buy championships, as it were, to watch what teams like the Astros have been able to do, it's pretty remarkable. It's not just money. It's being able to get rid of some of that capital that you have when you need to go get a Garrett Cole. I mean, it was a steal. It's a steal. They stole from those guys.
Yeah. Well, that Garrett Cole will be the ultimate test, right? Like, you know, like, you wonder. Yeah, I mean, the Astros aren't the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Red Sox when it comes to ultimately spending. At least we don't think they are. I mean, Jim Crane bought the team 6-7 years ago, and he's passed every test here along the way in terms of signing guys. Like, Altuve has a $30 million extension. They bought out Alex Bregman's arbitration years, so he's on a $100 million deal. You know, Verlander, they extended for $33 million a year. They made the trades for Verlander and Cole and Greinke. This Garrett Cole thing is going to be where we really find out what critical mass is for Jim Crane as the owner, because especially if Cole goes into the World Series and has two great starts against the Nationals, gets an MVP of the World Series kind of thing. I mean, the Garrett Cole market's going to go nuts.
You can't let him walk. You just can't let him walk.
I would agree with you, and I would hope that that's the case. And that's why I'm saying this may be where we find out what the breaking point is for Jim Crane, because there are other things that are going to need to get taken care of along the way, that either you just sacrifice those things and you put in some young guys and you bring Cole back, Or maybe the price of poker gets too high. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy these next 7 days.
And you're going to enjoy that chicken and an egg white in a second. Trust me, it's better cold, because I have one more question, just quickly. We talked to Astros. You mentioned Football Town. NBA starts this week. What's the James Harden-Russell Westbrook show going to look like for the Rockets?
That's a big question. You know, like, it's intriguing, I'll put it that way. I think I was probably in the minority among fans here where I said I didn't want them to trade for Westbrook. I was okay with running it back with Chris Paul for another year, just especially because of the injuries to Golden State. I think it just opens up so many things. And I am legitimately intrigued but concerned about how the whole dynamic is going to fit with James and with Russ. Now, that said, now that the trade is done, I'm really excited to see how it works. And it's fun sort of, you know, being at the epicenter of a lot of the chatter in the NBA, not the Daryl Morey related epicenter. That's a bad epicenter to be at right now. We're in the middle of that here too. But as far as like the on the court stuff with Harden and Westbrook, I think, you know, the big thing here is Mike D'Antoni, guys. I think, you know, D'Antoni is a great X's and O's guy. I think he probably ends up finding a way to make it work in some fashion. And the fact that we're not dealing with a super team anymore in Golden State means that the Rockets are going to be one of six or seven teams that are in the mix for this thing. So let's go play ball.
Hey, Sean, that was a lot of fun. Really appreciate great, it. Thank you so much. That was fun.
Anytime, guys.
Sean
Pendergast.
Yeah. So Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Now he gets to enjoy his cold egg white and chicken sandwich. Conversation.
There we go.
With Sean Pendergast.
Yeah, he's great, man. I can't wait to talk to him again.
Definitely would not mind chatting with that guy. We also will take a look at the other opponent in the World Series, the Washington Nationals, Pete Medhurst, part of their radio team, going to join us coming up at 6:35 in an hour from now.
Yeah,
so,
fair play, right? You cover one.
Equal
time. Yeah, equal time.
I'm probably more about being fair than you are. I mean, you're a fair person.
Who, me?
But in terms of the radio show, you just want to be entertaining and have a good time.
Correct.
I feel the obligation to present both sides and
not me.
Be a little more journalistically balanced when it comes to the show.
I've said it many times, Ben. I am not a journalist. I've never wanted to be a journalist. I want to entertain. That's all I want to do.
And you know what we entertain with? Hammer Time.
Oh, yeah.
Is just around the corner, and we'll set the stage for what we got coming up here on a Tuesday. Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you with us. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This one?
Yeah.
Wake you up.
The Dirt.
The Dirt.
One of Ben's favorite movies.
Motley Crue.
Yes. I forced
still
him.
Can't believe
I still
it.
Can't believe he
Seems
watched it.
A little early in the morning for that.
Are you kidding me?
Is this okay?
It's like a shot of adrenaline.
Is that what people want
yeah!
right now? Holy cow. Probably what I need. A little wake up juice.
Same.
Better than coffee.
I was dragging ass when I got here this morning. Huh. Now I feel better.
You better not be dragging on December 13th.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. People were talking about that on Twitter yesterday. Ben Woods with you here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Coming up on December 13th.
I'm dead. I don't know why I got myself into this.
Is the annual
you complained.
San Diego Soccer's. Yeah, how did this
now
happen?
You're complaining again.
San Diego Soccer's media game. So at halftime of a soccer's home game down at Pechanga Arena, they have two teams of media play against each other on the, like, between the boards, on the carpet, down there. Yeah, during halftime of the game at Pechanga Arena. And not only are you participating, but you have somehow been roped in as the captain of one of the two teams.
I am the captain. Now, here's the twist on it this year. It's old media versus new media. Old media being us. So it would be radio, television, print. Against podcasters.
Bobby Blogger.
You know.
Peter Podcast. Timmy Twitter.
Tony Twitch. So the guys like that. Now, I will tell you this, Ben.
Hacksaw.
You know this about me. I've built a championship empire here in San Diego with my San Diego Athletics. We've won 5-6 tournaments, including 2 World Series. If you think I haven't already started sending texts out and recruiting, you'd be wrong, because I have. I've already got I've got a roster of three confirmed already. Now, I need to talk to Craig Elston, who's the marketing guru and our buddy from the Sockers. And I need rules here. I need rulings on certain people because there are people, like, for example, Kevin Charity from Mad Friars tweeted in last night and said, I want to play. I said, well, Kevin.
He's new media.
You work for, well, you, but he comes on old media. So I need a ruling. And I'll say this. Your participation with new media may cost you a relationship in old media.
Hmm.
So that's the kind of ball game I'm playing. All right? I'm in it to win it.
Just because an old media goes on a podcast, that doesn't make them new media. That makes them the guest.
But we also do a podcast here. But we make our money with old media. And I resent the F out of the term old media. I really do. I'll call it traditional media because that's what we are. Now, I have nothing.
That sounds a bit stodgy.
It does. I have nothing. Obviously, I have
Let's
nothing.
Come up with a better name than that, too.
Fine.
Old media, traditional media. Let's just be cool media.
Cool media. There's not much coolness going on in old media these days. But I'll tell you this. I am already working actively. You know me. I'm not going to go into this half-assed. I saw a video last year of the teams like taking tequila shots and stuff before the game. Not on my team. No. We're in it. We're going to practice. And I'm going to put myself in goal. I've always wanted to play.
You're going to practice?
Yeah, we're going to practice.
Well, I'm out.
Yeah, seriously.
Not that I was going to get invited in the first place, but.
It's no offense. I was not going to call you. Paul will be there. He's going to, if he's healthy. Paul will be there knocking
December
people.
13th. I'll be good to go.
All right, good.
Be off.
I'm nervous.
Hammer
about it.
Can have my spot.
Hammer is so going to have this spot.
So are you so fired up to win? Now, what about reaching across like competition lines? You're okay with that?
How so?
Like other radio stations in town, if they old media places that had someone that you thought might be able to help you.
Oh well, of course. I mean, I have great relationships with most other radio hosts in this town. Now, there's a few that aren't on the Christmas card list, as you know, for sure. And I wouldn't want them anyway because they're loads.
What about people who have been old media for their entire careers, mm-hmm. but now, at least temporarily, are new media because they don't have a current job in old media?
I'm going to say
you need a ruling.
I need rulings on all of these. But like, there's a lot of people.
Like, what if you did radio for like 20 years and now you do a podcast out of a garage?
Then you're probably new media. I wouldn't want Dave and Jeff anyway. Neither of those guys. You imagine Jeff out there running around trying to play soccer?
Dave's I would pretty, take Dave,
but he's got bad knees.
True,
he's got bad.
He can
knees.
Be an enforcer on defense.
I mean, I could just have him there to like, but no, he would be new media. So this is where we're at right now. I'm
slam Craig Meddy into the wall.
Yeah, I'm working on my roster in my head. There's three of us locked down confirmed already. I already started sending texts yesterday. I'm in it to win it. I have never played goal in my life. Ciro, who's in our promotions department, is a goalie on a really good soccer team.
Oh, he's a beast.
Yeah, he's going to train me. I don't F around. Like, I'm not in this thing. Look at us. We're going to have fun. I'm in it to win it.
Co-ed.
I'm actually in it to embarrass.
It's co-ed.
Yeah, it
you
is
know
co-ed.
Who does analysis on, like, network television soccer broadcasts is Landon Donovan, who was on the Sockers last season. He could be considered old media because of that.
Yes, he could. Maybe I will
kind
give
him a ringer.
Maybe I will
like
give
an
him
a player from the Sockers from last season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're also talking to a guy that had Heath Bell on his adult league team. So, yeah, do you think I mind bringing ringers in, Ben? I don't. I want to. I've said it in our open. I want to win at all costs. So if I'm new media right now, I would get after it. I would get it. I wouldn't be as cavalier as you guys are. You know, new media. Hey, we do a podcast every 3 weeks. Oh, yeah, let me put some questions. Send us some questions to do on our podcast.
Prediction, and credit to Craig Elston here, I think this is going to be one of the more popular soccer games of the year to attend based on the media game.
I cannot wait.
People are going to want to see what goes on here.
I'd like to pitch a shutout, to be honest with you, between the pipes. I'm going to give it my all. Started working out.
It's tough to do. Indoor soccer.
Yeah, very hard to do.
High-paced, fast-paced game. Lots of goals.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a strategy in my head for the defense that I want to put out there to, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's keep away. You keep it away from them, we win the game, right, Hammer? Hammer's out. Hammer's going to be out there with us.
I'm a beast in soccer, too.
That's what I want to hear.
Do you know how long this game is? How long is a halftime of a soccer game?
It's like maybe 10 minutes, maybe.
It's a quick game.
It's a quick game. So you got it. We got to start hot, and we got to finish strong. And
listen, multiple reasons.
If I soil myself, if I soil myself between the pipes, I'll put somebody else in. I just want to win. I don't even want to have fun. I just want to win. It's not fun for me.
Winning's fun.
Winning is fun.
Who's the coach?
Me.
You can't play and be the coach.
I do it every weekend.
If only we had somebody that was like named coach.
Yeah, I don't know if coach knows anything about soccer though.
He was the GM of the Sockers.
There you go.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
He forgot about that. Know anything about indoor soccer?
He's done everything. Can't touch I forgot this. About. I totally forgot about that.
It's like. Spent like 8 years as the GM of that team.
All right, then that's it. Coach will be the coach.
Like, you know his ass isn't going to be on the field playing.
Well, no, he's going to coach.
All right, he's going to be full suit, clipboard.
I'm going to be the GM.
Okay,
he'll I'm a control freak. I just need him for X's and O's. Does he know X's and O's?
I don't know.
That's the thing. All right, I'm cutting into your time here.
You are cutting into my time.
Very sorry. Start it over, Paul. I screwed the best part up.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Here we go. Stop. Hammer time. I love that. All right.
Good morning, Hammer. What's on your mind today?
So my body does this really kind of embarrassing thing that makes me kind of self-conscious. Not too self-conscious now, but back in the day, it really got to me. Man, every time I yawn, I look like I'm, like, crying, like, big-time crying, and yep. I hate it. It's put me in these predicaments where, especially, like, in middle school, I used to be really self-conscious about my body, like, especially, like, underarm sweat. And so I'd cry in class, and then people would be looking at me, and I'd have to go through this whole thing, like, hey, man, what's wrong? Like, nothing's wrong.
That's just how you yawn.
But I've cried in class before, so I didn't want to always be known as the guy that cried.
The crier.
But I've cried probably 3 times in class. Once for the Padres losing in the playoffs, twice for other random things, but I just hate yawning and then looking like I'm crying.
I'm failing to see the correlation of the yawning and the crying in class. You cried for a good reason.
Yeah, but this is, and then I started getting known as the crier because I yawned in class and my eyes kept tearing up, and I hate that. And I just was thinking of weird stuff my body does and that I can't help.
I'm just fascinated by this whole yawning and crying because to me they seem like very different.
If you yawn right now, your eyes will tear up, and if somebody comes in at the wrong time, they're going to be like, hey, man, what's wrong? And you got to be like, nothing, I'll just
yawn. I do this when I yawn.
But I've been known to cry, so when you walk by
you're like the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah, so literally. When I yawn, everyone thinks I'm crying all the time, and I hate it.
You're fine now because you're older and you don't have to go to class. We would never make fun of you for that. I wouldn't make fun of you if you cried.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it to my face, but as soon as that door closed, you'd be like, yo, man. Hammer's crying for some reason.
There's been a shift, for sure. I mean, like, when we were growing up, even maybe, you know, Hammer 15 years ago, yeah, you know, a guy was crying, you go, what's wrong with him? Now, everyone's crying all the time. I mean, you look at athletes, celebrities. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's constant tears from everybody.
But you
all
can
the time.
Make fun of, like, Michael Jordan cried.
It was awesome.
And now you put Michael Jordan's crying face on the most pathetic moments in sports.
That's true.
That's basically me out there.
Crying Jordan. It's crying Hammer.
It's crying Hammer because I can't stop yawning.
You've seen me cry. You've seen me cry before. Ben's seen me cry. I've seen Ben cry.
Yeah, we've cried on the air before.
We've cried on the air before. My God. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, check. That's the thing, Hammer, is people say, oh, you need to give your man card back. And I say you're not manly unless you cry.
See, I cry about, I wouldn't necessarily cry about big things.
What's the last thing you cried about?
Oh, some random movie. I cry at movies all the time.
Same.
I can't help myself.
I was at a damn wedding over the weekend, and they did the thing that I could never do because I'm a crier. They read their own vows. I could never, ever. And when my friend Sasha started to read her vows, I had to bite my lip. I looked around. I was looking to see if any of the bridesmaids were crying. They weren't. I was like, all right, don't be the crying guy at the wedding. I was biting my lip.
See, yeah, I wouldn't cry at a wedding. That's a little much.
I officiated a wedding, and I had to fight myself.
Of course, yeah.
What do you guys like, wedding crashes when he puts in the eye drops so he looks like he's crying?
No, these were real tears.
I remember when Field of Dreams came out. I went and saw it by myself at the old UTC movie theater, not the Arclight that's there now, really just the old one by the ice skating rink, and didn't know anything about just baseball movie. I came out of that thing sobbing.
100%.
Sobbing.
Hey, Dad, you want to have a catch?
Yeah.
I mean, it slays me every time. Like,
hey, remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
What do you mean that's not my brother?
Yeah.
When he says that line,
kills you.
My God.
Hammer, just so you know, there's nothing wrong with crying. Okay? Now, there are people that cry too much.
I don't want to be okay, I get that. But I don't want to yawn, and then you come in, and then all of a sudden you think I'm crying.
I wouldn't care.
Don't care if I'd care, because I don't want to be crying for no reason. I want to have a reason for my cries.
All right.
Just saying. If you see me yawning out there, don't walk in and be like, oh, man,
I would never. I would never make fun of you for crying. I'm not a monster.
Stop. Hammer time.
I think we have finally did it. We finally did it, Woodsy.
Yep.
Never happened before on Ben and Woods. This is a milestone hour. I believe we just went through the entire hour, and we did not talk about any sports.
We do that all the time.
At all. I mean, technically, I guess a media soccer game is sports-related, but in terms of, like, what's going on right now in the sports world, the World Series, the NFL season, the start of the NBA season, hockey's going on, really, literally, every sport in America is going on right now, and we just spent an entire hour
crying
and didn't discuss any of it.
Crying
but that's okay.
It.
I'm excited.
Alcohol.
That leaves plenty of time these next 3 hours. Plenty of topics for us, including last night's Bill Belichick's amazing. Plus, Patriots
killer.
Pull off a trade on 97.3 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.